Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I believe this segment, we're going to jump into and talk about a question in the chat room. We're going to discuss the implications of the introduction of a monetary mark of the beast, such as we see in the chapter 13 of the Revelation. We might as well just go to chapter 13 of the Revelation and look at the text. Let's go to the source and let's identify what we're talking about first. Revelation chapter 13, and we get toward the end of the chapter. Okay, now we have these three characters. We have the beast, the sea beast, and we have the earth beast. So we have a sea beast, we have an earth beast, and then the earth beast makes an image to the sea beast. And of course, I believe that the image is an image through which the sea beast gains more control and ruling power over the world. And an image of something is something that's like that which it is an image of. So it has to be a government. And I've identified, of course, the sea beast as the final fourth beast of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, and the Roman Empire. Said contemporary with John, also goes to perdition, called number 6. If you go to chapter 17, about verse 9, 10, 11, around there, we have the three kings, and we identified the kings as beasts. As a matter of fact, the text of that piece of prophecy and identifies those kings, those seven kings, as beasts. So they must all be beasts. We're not comparing apples and oranges, because God is not the author of confusion. So the eighth beast or king is one of the prior ones, identified as the six, because the six was the Roman contemporary John goes to perdition. So therefore the eighth has to be the same as the six. It can't be the seventh or the fifth, because if it was the seventh, well, there would be no need to enumerate an eighth, because the seventh and the eighth would be the same thing. That would be kind of stupid. You would only have seven. So it has to be a prior one. So there has to be an intermediate beast power somewhere between the one that was contemporary with John and the one that still exists as the eighth, the same one that was contemporary with John. And that intermediate beast, the only other beast given future tense to John's revelation, is this earth beast in Revelation chapter 13. So we have an original power, because that's what a beast is. It has to be an original power when it rises up in the earth. And we understand that from studying all of the beasts that the scripture gives us, specifically the four that are declared in, by Daniel. The four beast powers there, which the fourth was the Roman. And we learned that each beast, as it rose up consecutively of these four, was an original power in the earth. So when we are going to enumerate all of the beasts, because only what? How many beasts? We have only five beasts are mentioned in the entire scripture. But it says there's seven. So we have to take what we know about the four beasts that are mentioned there in Daniel, and then we see that final one mentioned in Revelation, along with a new one, an earth beast. So it has to be one of the seven. So you actually have five beasts mentioned. You have the four from Daniel, and you have the new one that's introduced in chapter 13 called the earth beast. It's like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon, but it is a beast power. It's an original power that arises in the earth. And here in chapter 13, and this is the days in which we live now, where these three powers coexist and are working together, because that's what we see. We see their relationship here in chapter 13, and it's commingled with this mark of the beast in a new way that it was not in the past, because in the past, the mark of the beast has always existed. Those who exhibit the mark of the beast, for instance, if you have statues of Mary in your lawn, 500 years ago, or 200 years ago, or 100 years ago, that's called a mark of the beast. That's physically. Now, you don't really need a physical mark or something to say it, but if you worship the beast or its image, or if you worship the anti-Christian power, or you hold the tenets of its great apostasy, well, then you are said to have the mark of the beast. Okay? But something new is introduced here, because it says no man might buy or sell save he had the mark of the beast. Now, in the past, before the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist was brought to an end, in that form that it was, you know, before it received its deadly wound, or supposedly deadly wound, as it were to death, but it didn't die. We have to make sure we clarify that, that it said that those, that judgment fell on those that had the mark of the beast, and it did. And of course, that mark was that they worshiped the Pope, or they worshiped idols, or they were trusting in purgatory, or they were trusting in transubstantiation to do with a man to forgive their sins, and till they came back next week with all their new sins or whatever, but they were taking the propitiatory effect of what Christ did away from him and transferring it to their own sacrifice, which they would perform in the temple of God every week or whenever they did that. So that's, in that way, that's called having a mark of the beast. So we see something here different about this, that somehow, oh yes, and I had to say, in the past, they would take your property away and they would excommunicate you, and they would not allow you, anyone who bought or sold with anyone who was a Bible believer and didn't go along with the papacy and its great apostasy. Well, they were marked as someone that those who were faithful to the Antichrist and his apostasy could not do business with. So they did kind of mess with the buying and selling of people in the past, and also confiscated their properties. And of course, they would give their properties to their persecutors, the ones that would uphold the apostasy. So we see that from the past, and we understand that a mark of the beast does not have to be a physical mark, a tattoo, or something like that on the hand or the forehead. So how do we apply that now with what is coming with this system, this monetary system of the Antichrist, and buying and selling? Yes, Tony says, yes, most people are guessing on exactly what is the mark in the hand and the head. And, yeah, how will that final mark play out? You know what, I don't think it's going to be any different. Those that judgment fell on those that had the mark of the beast during the French Revolution, when the Great Horror was judged at one time, but we know what the scripture says, that they repented not of their idolatries and murder, so people went on carrying that spiritual mark of the beast. But there is something different about this chapter 13 final one, where it says you need this mark to buy or sell or trade. And I believe that anyone who participates in that will participate by maybe, I don't think it's going to have to be a physical mark in the hand or the forehead, like a tattoo or something, but it will probably just a way to access your account. I mean, you remember your number if you have a identifier of a beast government, because a beast is a government. So if you have a government identification system that allows you to access the final mark of the beast monetary system, so you can take advantage of that, then you'll give your number to participate in that. And so I think there's going to be some point, and that's kind of what we're still speculating about, because it really hasn't happened yet. We see everything's in place. Almost everyone on the planet is numbered, so that number will be kind of rolled right into it, is my belief. But I have many articles on my website about that. You just look up Mark of the Beast at my website, Cross the Border. There's a search box there, and you can learn a lot about that. Okay, we're going to come back after some news and a little break here and continue with the next segment on this same topic. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. We're going to continue our discussion on the Mark of the Beast. And I have a chapter in my 2014 book. And the name of my 2014 book was The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And you can get a copy of that by going to the free ebook page or the Get the Book page on my website. It's free there. If you want to sign up for my blog, you can ask for a PDF copy of it absolutely free. But chapter 12 is titled, I have on the page preceding the chapter, the picture of The Economist magazine. And chapter 12 is entitled The Mark of the Beast. And so there's a lot of good information there about that and many of the things, a lot more than what I could say on the air here during this hour. So make sure you take advantage of that. The article is still up to date, even though I wrote it, 4 years ago. Okay, so where we're at, we're talking about Revelation chapter 13 and what to expect. We discussed the mark of the beast a bit, and we talked about the relationship of the beast, what a beast is, and how it's a government, and we have these characters, we have these two beasts, and I believe, of course, that the sea beast, or the first beast of Revelation chapter 13, is that final Roman final form of the Roman Empire, such as it exists today, with the continued breaking in pieces. And we have the new beast, which would be the seventh, the one after the sixth contemporary John, the seventh, one intermediary beast, and there's only one mention, one additional beast mentioned, and that is in Revelation chapter 13, called the earth beast, the beast that rises up out of the earth, and it is a lamb-like, but speaks like a dragon, has two horns like a lamb, and speaks like a dragon, and I believe that is America, the only world-dominating power that has risen up since then, and it rose up in the New World, not out of the sea like the four previous beasts, being the locality of peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, when the Roman Empire rose up and those four other powers rose up out of the sea, the Old World. The New World is where America rose up, and it is the only power that has risen up in the interim that meets all the criteria of this earth beast. So I believe it is the seventh. It says it continues a short space, and it's been here, well, a little more than 200 years compared to the sea beast. It can't be part of the sea beast. It can't be a division of the sea beast because it has to continue a short space, and it has to be a different beast that rose up in a locality that is not defined by the Old World or the place where the Roman Empire rose up, multitudes, peoples, nations, and tongues, because when America rose up as a nation, it rose up in what was comparatively a wilderness at the time. And there's a lot to that. I have a, if you get my last book, When the Third Temple is Built, I have toward the end of there, I have a little more explanation. Someday I'm going to get everything in one book. But that's the book I have to work on after a lot more projects. But you can get both of my books there for a deal on the Get the Book page. So, in pocketbook editions. Okay, so what can we expect? We have the beast, the Roman Empire worldwide, broken in pieces, continuing to break in pieces until it goes to perdition. We have this seventh king or second beast of Revelation chapter 13, the earth beast that's risen up, comes alongside and helps out and creates an image to the first beast. And I believe because America is that earth beast, that it created the United Nations, which is an image of the Roman Empire. It's a ruling authority, a worldwide ruling power and authority, but it is only an image. It's not an actual dominating national power like the Roman Empire or any of the beasts before it, or even like America. It is only an image of it. You see what I'm getting at? But it is an image through which the Antichrist has great power. He doesn't have to rule directly now. He can rule through this image of the beast, an image created to this beast power. And that's why it is described as an image. And also it is spoken of the Roman Empire as it was, is not, yet is, because people don't recognize it. Okay, so what can this mark look like? Well, we already have, speaking of the monetary system, we already have Satan's monetary system. So we know we are well on our way. Okay, we are well on our way to the mark of the beast monetary system being one world, worldwide, overall nations, because almost every nation, if not every nation on earth, has a satanic fiat usury monetary system. Fiat means it has no weight, it has no substance, it's an unjust weight and balance, it's changeable. Okay? That's why the value of the money is always changing, usually becoming less and less. Rarely does it become worth more. Okay? And so they can change it any time they want. They can steal by simply increasing the amount of the fiat money on earth. They steal from everybody. And that's what all of this debt and borrowing is going on, is they're just taking and stealing money from everyone on the planet through this system of fiat. And then it's usury. It's created out of thin air because they have to borrow it to create it. And it is created out of thin air. And both of these things are abomination to God, an unjust weight and a balance, and usury. Both things God calls an abomination, which are the foundation of the satanic monetary system that's come over the whole world. Okay? So somehow this is going to be tied to worship of the beast. And anyone who does not participate in worship of the beast will be effectively cut off from, as the scripture says, buying and selling in this mark of the beast system. It doesn't say anything about trading in substance, okay? It doesn't say that you won't be able to trade in substance, because how else will God's people survive if they're cut off from the world monetary system? And I see, you know, I can't tell you exactly how, when this is going to happen. I can say that it will likely be a digital currency. It will be likely supplant all of the currencies of the nations of men and become a uniform currency over the whole world. Isn't that exactly where they're headed with this thing? They will have to outlaw cash, I guess, and outlaw any direct trading that is not reported. And people will go to prison for financial crimes. People will lose their properties for not paying their property taxes and things like that. So that's how the Christians will be persecuted. And we can see that the hatred of Christianity and Jesus and everything that he stands for and true Bible-believing Christianity is becoming more and more hated by the world every single day. It becomes a daily thing where you see the encroachment becoming more and more so. I can see in 10, 15, 20 years easily where people will be excluded, and by conscience, true Christians, true Bible-believing, Reformed Christians, will not be able to, will have to withdraw from the world monetary system, regardless of the peril, regardless of what the consequences will be. And this will be a great test and a great trial for God's people. But apparently there's no way around it if you're going to be here. And unfortunately for all you dispensationalists who believe you're going to be raptured out of here before, that's why they've taught you that, oh, you can't know who the Antichrist is, because they want you to believe that you're going to be raptured away and that you're not going to have to suffer any tribulation ever or deal with the mark of the beast. So why should you even care about those things? And those people are going to be the worse off, because suddenly they're not going to be prepared spiritually, mentally, physically, or in any way for what's going to happen, because nobody's going to be raptured. The rapture is not the resurrection. The resurrection I do believe in. The raptures I do not believe in. So what will it have to be? No. How do you access your mark of the beast? You know, how do you access it today? Now, I have to tell you, is I don't have a mark of the beast for buying and selling. I have resisted that. I have repented of any participation in the past, and I have lived without the socialist number for 20 years now, and I'm never going back. I can't collect welfare. I can't collect socialist security. None of those things. I have no connection with any of those things, and nor will I ever, like the dog, turn back to the vomit. I am not a socialist. Socialism is against God's law, and God's people must recognize that, though it seems that a lot of them are participating. Some have deceived themselves into actually taking the benefits that are stolen from their neighbors, and they look to the world as their benefactor. Well, we're told to look to God as and to forget not all of His benefits. And when we take benefits from the world, well, then God is no longer our benefactor. The world becomes our benefactor. Rome becomes our benefactor. The Antichrist, through his conjuring money out of thin air, fiat usury money, becomes our benefactor. We become participants in the theft that he uses to bribe you with those benefits into acceding to his one world money system to buy or sell in it or even receive. And that's why I believe that the Antichrist system and is inherently communist and socialist, because it has to be. It's no wonder that Pope Francis and the popes before him, with their veritas, caritate, charity and truth, they call it. Is it caritas? One way or another, the Latin is charity and truth, they call it, written by previous popes, embraced still by the pope we have. I had a True News did a program here a little while ago called "Is the Pope Francis Communist?" You know, all I can say is, duh! Of course the Antichrist is communist. Yeah, and I believe, you know, because they can steal all the money they want by printing more and decreasing the value of the money that everyone holds. That's called theft. And that's what it's all about, is theft. And many of your Jesuitical teachers out there, and some just spouting what they've heard because they believe a lie, that Christ was communist and the early church practiced communism. Didn't you read how they had all things in common? Well, you can have all things in common today, but it's socialism and communism when it becomes mandatory. See, you'll never find in the Bible where it's forced communism, or I mean forced socialism, okay? Because that's what socialism and communism is. It's mandatory. Socialism is mandatory. In America, it's not mandatory. You don't have to participate. In many countries of the world, it is mandatory. You must participate, okay? In America, it's not mandatory. Not yet. Otherwise, I would be breaking the law by not participating and having a socialist number. That's voluntary in the land of the free, though most people have volunteered or volunteered their children, and their children grew up, and when they got old, they said, oh, this is okay, I can keep doing this, not understanding the implications of it, walking in ignorance. Well, it's time to wake up, you know, from your ignorance and put away all these childish things to grow up, become a grown-up man or woman, and learn to rely on the Almighty as your sole benefactor. Now, I've had in the past, before I learned a lot that I've learned now, many, many years ago, I went to church, and to a local church that was a 501c3 corporation, and many ministries, you'll find out, probably the majority of ministries, so-called charitable ministries and church ministries, they're not really benefactors. Some give out of their own money, but most walk people down to the state and sign them up for the beast benefit system. Yeah. And I had one pastor, he told me, he said, oh, go down and sign up. You know, you have a need, go down and sign up. That's why God put them there. Really? You mean God can't do it without Rome? God couldn't take care of me? Well, I challenge that. And I've lived up to that challenge. Unless I should say, really, God has lived up to that challenge. He's proven himself to be true. A true benefactor. He doesn't need Rome to take care of you. The just shall live by faith. And that is not faith in Rome. All kinds of terrible allegiances happen when you rely on the world and the Antichrist system of the Roman world to take care of you. You have new allegiances. And rather than being thankful to God, I mean, are you thankful to the beast? Are you thankful to God for providing through the theft of the socialist, communist, mark of the beast, fiat usury monetary system? So it's time to repent of that. I've repented of that completely. I can never go back and never will. I don't care if I have to suffer deprivation, homelessness, hunger, whatever. I've suffered a lot of things and I've given up a lot of benefits. Because I take a lot of the things that the world offers, like licensing, professional licensing and things like that, and they tie it to the benefit system. And that they, like, you know, 12, 15 years ago, they said, oh, you know, you can't even get a driver's license benefit. Privilege, I should say, because that's what they always say. Driving is a privilege. I said, okay, well, if you tell me now I got to go sign up or participate in a socialist system voluntarily to get your benefit, you know, privilege of driving with a license, I said, well, yes, I just have to drive without a license. And then I discovered by further research into the topic that I'm not a driver at all. Yeah, I'm not. I'm actually a minister of God. That's my profession. I am a minister of the gospel. And I am a teacher of God's word. That's my profession. I am not a driver. The law states that a driver is someone who carries passengers or cargo for hire. So when I travel with my family down to the store, I am not driving, you know, and not in legal terms. The legal term driving means one thing, where when I say, well, I'm going to get in and drive the car down to the store, well, that means something else. That means I'm just going to get in and get behind the wheel of the vehicle, steer it, and press on the gas until I get where I'm going. We call that traveling. I'm going to travel to the store. So you got to be careful when you're talking to legal authorities like police out there. You got to be careful of your words, because everything you can say can be used against you in a court of law. And if they can use it against you in a court of law, you are now speaking a different language. You're speaking legalese. What does the language mean? And if you admit your guilt that you're driving without a license, well, bam, they got you. You know, it's all a game, man. And most people, that's why they don't teach you law in public schools. They don't teach you finance and, you know, but they don't teach you law at all. They want you to be ignorant. And who would want you to be ignorant but the Antichrist? You know, they wanted you to live as a free man. They would teach you these things. You wouldn't meet a lawyer. Every man would represent himself. You know, I am me. I am here. I present myself. I don't need someone to represent me. Yeah. So, when the mark of the beast comes, if you belong to God, you'll know what to do, because you'll listen to the Spirit and you'll be led by the Spirit. And that's the important thing, is that we are led by His Spirit. Nothing can be more important than that in the times that we are living in. And especially as you see, we are nearing the end. I say that we are in the era of the three frogs. Since the French Revolution, since that vial was poured out, these three frogs have been loosed in the earth. And it says that they're loosed toward the goal of gathering together the wicked for the battle of the great day of God Almighty, mighty. So these three wicked spirits, God has allowed them to be loosed in the earth. One that comes out of the mouth of the dragon, one that comes out of the mouth of the beast, and one that comes out of the mouth of the false prophet. Of course, the dragon representing the same things that old pagan Rome represented, when Rome was represented by the dragon as that red beast, like a dragon. That would be idolatry, worshiping idols and false gods and some words escape me when I need them. And of course, then the beast would be the worship of state, because we have plenty of beasts. Many people worship the government. How do you worship the government? Well, the government gives you license to sin. If the government says, well, you know, God's law says thou shalt not commit adultery, but it's okay with us. God's law says thou shalt not murder, but if you want to kill your child before it's born, well, we're going to make that legal. God says, thou shalt not steal. And they say, well, you can steal as long as you don't break any laws while you're doing it. Okay? And on it goes. The licentiousness goes on and on and on. You want to marry your, if a guy wants to marry a guy and they want to engage in homosexual acts and stuff like that, well, you can get a license from the government to do that. Okay? That's licentiousness. That's worshiping the beast. So when you accept the law of man over the law of God, you are worshiping the beast. In whatever nation you're in, wherever, it's the same beast, actually. And then there's out of the mouth of the false prophet. Well, the false prophet is the anti-type of the true prophet. Who is the true prophet? Well, of course, the true prophet is Jesus. And just, you know, ask any Jew who's accepted the Messiah. Is he the one they were waiting for? The one that's spoken of by Moses and the prophets? You know, yeah, he was, he is. He is that true prophet that they were waiting for. So the anti-type of the true prophet would be the false prophet, the man of sin, the St. John's Antichrist, the little horn of Daniel's fourth beast, which we were talking about in our previous segments. Okay? So we have another name for him, the false prophet. And so I could make a case for that and add that to the title of those things that we previously went through. So these three spirits, like frogs, that means they're loquacious. They mean they just keep hopping and they keep croaking and they never shut up. And they get louder and louder and louder as the time gets darker and darker and darker. And they're going throughout the whole earth, and you can see that more people are croaking along with them. They're just joining in the croaking of these three frogs, and it's getting louder and louder and louder, and it's going to keep getting louder, so don't be surprised that things are going the way they're going until Christ comes. It's up to us to just stand in Christ, to feed on His Word and allow His Holy Spirit to work the work of repentance in us. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk each and every day in His kingdom on the narrow way that leads to life.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.